Tech of Sports, Sparta Science with Dr. Phil Wagner. This week on the Tech of Sports, Dr. Phil Wagner of Sparta Science. Modern Life podcast mobile apps are a great way to receive our content on your smart devices. Check out apps for both iOS and Android, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and all sorts of other apps where you can get your favorite Modern Life podcast network shows all available to listen to. The Tech of Sports, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. And the Tech of Sports, the production of the Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. So great show here on tap for tonight, and interested in talking to the good doctor, Dr. Wagner, tonight from Sparta Science. And just a little background on the company and a little background on Dr. Wagner. The company was founded in 2007. The company is about using force plate technology and proprietary analytic software to make sure athletes train and perform well, from strength to speed to skills and regeneration. The experienced coaches build lasting relationships with athletes based on trust and results, and they're located in the San Francisco Bay Area. They have an 8,500 square foot facility, a premier location to become stronger, healthier, and more mentally tough athletes. So we're talking about high performance athlete training this week, and Dr. Wagner brings some impressive credentials. He created Sparta Software Corporation after founding Sparta Performance Science in the Silicon Valley. And he had a passion for advancing science and athletic performance. He graduated from medical school as a physician from USC. And he spent 11 years previous to that as a strength coach at Cal and UCLA with three national championship titles to his credit there. He played varsity football at UC Davis, and he continued his athletic career. Kind of went off the grid there a little bit, playing semi-professional club rugby in New Zealand. So just a fascinating guest. And Dr. Wagner, thanks for coming on the Tech of Sports this week.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Yeah, no problem. You got a lot going on there, and this is a very hot topic now, the training and measuring of performance and analytics when it comes to developing athletes and maybe even athletes recovering from injury. And that's really what Sparta is all about. And just kind of give a little background more than what I said on Sparta in your own words.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's certainly a growing interest and a growing field. I wish the training side was growing as fast as the measuring side. You know, there's quite a bit going on of hardware and wearables and collecting data. It's outrunning, you know, the ability of actually doing something about it. You know, and so Sparta kind of really tries to key in on keeping those two things connected, that the information that is gathered and analyzed is actually used to support or change decision making.
Yeah, that's kind of a change a little bit, because it used to be there were coaches out there more than willing to tell you what you're doing wrong and to kind of get you on their program, and they didn't have any data at all at their at their disposal. But what you're kind of saying is it's got to be a two-way street, really, to make the whole process work.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, in a way, it was better before.
Really?
Because it was better without the tech, because at the end of the day, the most important part is the relationship with the athlete, and actually being committed in a very personal manner to getting them to change their habits, whether it's training or sleeping or any sort of efforts that make them more resilient. And a lot of times staffs and, you know, the field itself, myself included, the data doesn't talk back to you. So it's a lot easier to focus on a computer screen and not face the rejection that you're going to see with athletes or sport coaches.
Sorry, are you saying it's a bad thing maybe that the 35-year-old stay-at-home mom has a Fitbit or a Jawbone up, and she's, you know, tracking her steps each day and maybe her heart rate? Is that, you know, she's using it for that purpose. Is that bad?
Not at all. No, I think, you know, the whole goal of technology should be to, you know, breed consistency. So the example that you brought up is fantastic, in that, you know, trying to use technology to build and solidify better habits is, at the end of the day, what the goal should be. You know, I think where it becomes a nuisance or a hindrance is when it prevents you from learning with the athlete and from encouraging better habits in a very personal way.
I know, and when kind of computers, and you probably are aware of this, when computers first came out, there were things called user groups where people would get together and try to sort out problems or maybe help other people with problems they had with the growing computer environment that we're all dealing with now. This is kind of happening, I think, with with wearables and with fitness, and now where you see groups of people maybe training together, running groups, biking groups, workout groups, and then they kind of share and compare what they're doing. Is that a good relationship to have? Good relationships to have, do you think?
Yeah, I think anytime you can have different experiences coming together and being open about some of the challenges they face and some of the solutions they found, it's an excellent way to go solving problems. In sports, the environment that we're in, a lot of times that doesn't happen because there's such a fierce competition and really paranoia, right? That you're giving away your secrets by, getting together with like-minded peers.
Yeah. I mean, elite athletes are kind of like, NASCAR teams. They don't want to open up their hood.
That's right.
Show kind of what they're doing with their engines and their technology under the hood. But also, I think part of it is that elite athletes, they don't have anyone sometimes to train with. I mean, you may be in a part of the country or somewhere where there's no one really that does what you do or can do, and you're not going to pull someone off the street to train with an elite marathoner or a triathlete. So I think what you guys are doing is very worthwhile and should be commended. And I think you're kind of thinking ahead of the curve a little bit.
Yeah. And I think, the name Sparta actually is more from the word Spartan, as an attempt to use technology to actually try to simplify as opposed to complicate, And so really using data and sports technology as a way to, kind of like we talked about, promote better habits through simplicity, whether that's by certain strengthening movements or nutritional habits. And so really kind of having that checks and balance that, okay, it's not making my life more complicated. It's making it better by eliminating the stuff I don't need to make sure all I'm doing is what's right for me.
Yeah, sometimes the keeping it simple is the best solution. And we're with Dr. Phil Wagner here, Sparta Science, at www.spartascience.com. And kind of talk a little bit about what you can, Doctor, about the force plate. Kind of fascinated by that and just and how that works and how that integrates into what you're doing.
Yeah, so the force plate is, it's the concept's based off Newton's third law. So for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if I push down, that's what causes me to jump up. Or if I push left, that's what causes me to move right. And so the force plate analyzes those ground reaction forces and creates, a fingerprint, so to speak, what we call a movement signature. And that movement signature is really different for every person. And it's their individual solution to the problems that individual is going to face in their sport. And so from that signature, that movement signature, we're able to figure out what the best training plan is, whether that's coming back from injury, improving performance, or ultimately preventing injury. And so that system of using the force plate to create a signature and then prescribe a program, so much of that system is based off medicine.
Yeah, they're all connected. What sports, what kind of sports work best, do you think? Does the force plate help with the best when it comes to movements, because every sport has different types of movements, and within those sports, every athlete has a different type of signature movement as well. So, what sports are we mainly talking about here?
Yeah, we get asked that question a lot, mostly from our athletes. They always want to know who the best sport or who the best athlete is. And my response is, what's the best painting? Because every sport, every athlete, is different and exceptional in their own way. So, they're all applicable to using and benefiting from the force plate. Probably the only sport that doesn't use the ground very well is water polo. But even swimming, races are won and lost in starts and turns. Even that jump or that ground interaction is important in that sport. So they all benefit, and they all have different signatures and skill sets that make that person unique.
Yeah, sports a lot of times is about the little things. I think you're doing a good job with that. And you know, little things really affect the big things. And that's really where an athlete can, I think, improve, change their body and approach what they're doing, maybe in a way where all of a sudden things become easier, or they kind of, they kind of see the light. And that's maybe when an athlete moves to a different level and a different status, or, you know, I think what people call that is peaking. So yeah. I think that's huge. And if you guys can identify those little things that more people can improve on, that's got to help the athlete as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the long-term development process, and you want to make sure along the way that there's monitoring using technology to make sure that path is on track. And if it's not, what has to be adjusted? Is it something in their training program, or is it something in their lives away from training that could be affecting their recovery?
I mean, what is your opinion on taking, sometimes you have to take a step back to maybe take two steps forward? You see this in, you know, sports like tennis, golf, maybe even changing a batting stance in baseball, or, you know, this is applicable in any sport, but are you guys proponents that sometimes you gotta pull back a little bit to get to where you want to be?
Yeah, that's the fastest way to spot bad technology, is when there's no step backwards. So when you look at our graphs for most of our athletes' improvements, there's always that step backwards before the improvement occurs from a data and a technology standpoint. And, you know, we've seen other technologies or data points, and they're linear. And we all know that life is not linear, nor is sports, nor is athletic development. There's no linear process. And so having those setbacks is critical and necessary to make those improvements. What we found is that's a lot of times what allows the trust to be created between the athlete and the coach, is they see the setback. The coach explains why this is normal, what's going to be expected the next time they're assessed, and the next time they actually make that improvement. And then the athlete's really committed to that coach who told them, hey, we're going to see you through this together. This is normal.
And that's where the relationship really comes into play, because
that's right.
Athletes by nature are an impatient breed of people, as you know, probably better than anybody, especially you spend a lot of time at the college level. Are college athletes, because these are student athletes that have had success their whole career to get to this point, you know, playing or are being a student athlete for a big Division I program. Did you see firsthand, athletes maybe get very frustrated, threaten to quit because they hated to take that slide backward? And then is the reward in it really for you when you see them, taking the steps forward then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, baseball tends to actually be the best at accepting setbacks. You know, they fail 70% of the time. You know, if you're not good with failure, then baseball might be the worst sport you could pick. So they're very comfortable with those setbacks. On the other side, yeah, there's athletes that get very frustrated when they have those setbacks, and it certainly affects their training and their perspectives on their sport in a very negative way. But when there is that rebound, you know, that's when there's a really satisfying and fulfilling moment for the coach. You know, we call it the tunnel of chaos. Right, there's that tunnel of chaos where you get worse before you get better. But when you go through a tunnel of chaos like that with another person, a coach and an athlete, that's probably one of the more fulfilling moments you can have.
For all parties at that point.
For all parties, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great conversation we're having with Dr. Phil Wagner here. So let's just take a quick break here, Dr. We have a sponsor here at the network, a partner, and it's Amazon.com, a great partner. And if you're doing any shopping on Amazon, maybe for athletic equipment or books and information on nutrition, Amazon has everything these days at your disposal. So we have an affiliate link here at the network you can use for shopping on Amazon. It's modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon. No extra cost to you. It's real easy just to type that in, do all your shopping, and there's nothing else really you have to do. And it just helps support the network here a little bit and gives us, lets us know that what the shows and the content we're bringing you are being heard and appreciated. So modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon for any and all of your needs. It's fascinating that, is there, is it what, before we continue on, is there one particular sport, doctor, that athletes tend to be a little more patient, or they tend to know that, you know, what's going to, what kind of they have to put in to get the results they want? Or, I know athletes are different all across the board, but what one sport that you found out where the athletes tend to be a little more patient and kind of are willing to follow the program a little better?
I don't think it's a particular sport. It is a particular gender. You know, females are a lot more patient. You know, they understand that things are a process. Males are very result driven and therefore, you know, really don't care about getting worse before they get better, because they just want to know why they didn't get better and stay very focused on the end result. So I think, you know, all athletes are certainly have a bit of urgency. Is urgency is kind of a positive word for impatience. You know, they're all extremely urgent. I think females tend to accept that process better than male athletes.
But don't you find maybe female athletes are a little more competitive even than the male athlete? They're more concerned about maybe what a rival or a training partner is doing more than the male athlete. They're more concerned about themselves, and that's really where they put their attention on. Do you notice that dynamic at all?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's got a chip on their shoulder about something and something that drives them. Maybe it's, you know, their parents or yeah, the fact that they're a female and they want to be better than males. You know, we don't run into females that are necessarily more competitive than males. I think they're equally hyper competitive. Otherwise, they wouldn't have chosen that as a vocation.
Another big topic these days are young kids specializing early on in their life in a particular sport. And, you know, the best athletes for decades and decades, you know, played many sports when they were young, and they kind of found or they kind of, you know, wove their way into one particular sport. Maybe they preferred or they enjoyed the most, and then they would become great at that sport. Now you see kids and parents strategizing early on that, you know, and steering kids into one particular sport. And, you know, I've had other doctors on here, sports medicine doctors and orthopedics, saying this contributes to injury quicker in their careers or, you know, more problems down the line. Where do you stand on that? Are you a proponent of kids trying many sports until a particular age? And then when do you think a kid should specialize?
Yeah, I mean, I was very anti, you know, and am anti, you know, specialization at an early age. You know, my daughter, though, is 7 years old, and she started traveling soccer and is playing 4 days a week right now. So, you know, it's been a shock to me to realize, you know, I don't think it's as simple to say, which I thought it used to be, as simple as saying, don't specialize till you're later. You know, a lot of people like myself and my daughter are specializing early because the real problem is the rec and youth coaching is so bad that as a result, you know, to get better coaching in life or in general, more organization, you have to be a part of these more hyper competitive or organized clubs in order to get exposed to just better influences. So I think the tough part is it's more an erosion of the youth and rec organizations than it is trying to play multiple sports. I think that's more the root of the problem.
Yeah, I think so. And the parents getting involved at a fanatical level. That's not you by any means, but that does happen more often than not, and in individual sports and team sports. So that's not good for any of the kids involved on the team or individually. But I can understand it is hard to, if a young kid is really into one sport, they enjoy it, it's hard to pull them off the field of play. How can you say no to them?
Yeah, I think technology and more data is going to continue to show that a balanced and different exposure to other activities and sports is going to show how much healthier that is, rather than repetition of the same movements year round from an early age. You know, I think technology can start to really play a large visual role to show parents and supporters that it's important to avoid specialization as early or as long as possible.
And that's what Sparta Science is really all about. How do you guys identify an athlete? What's the type of athlete you're looking for, the type of athlete that should be looking at Sparta?
Yeah, so we We work with high school, college, and professional athletes. We do that because a lot of our data is predictive of those populations. So to keep them the same as, you know, and homogeneous really helps have a really strong predictive value about where each of those populations' risks are. At the end of the day, within high school, college, and pro, we're less concerned of how good they are and more concerned with how committed they are, you know, because to make real changes, that's the biggest need is there's got to be grit. And there's got to be a commitment to whatever endeavor they've chosen. And so once an athlete commits, you know, we use a force blade and that assesses them and creates a movement signature, which guides us in the best training plan to improve their performance and reduce injury.
And that even bubbles itself up to the professional level, athletes that are all, and the elite athletes that have already had a lot of success and, you know, have already defined themselves. Sparta still helps those athletes as well.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times those athletes are a little bit more challenging because there's ingrained psychological habits and there's ingrained movement patterns and injury histories, right? So you're having to undo or refine some old compensation that exists, you know, in order to create a more efficient machine.
How important is video and what you guys are doing as far as looking at, like you said, a professional athlete, maybe what they did, you know, previously and what they're doing now? Do you, is video study a part of it along with the other technology you're using?
We use video here as an instant feedback for the athlete when they're doing movements, just because athletes have become more and more visual learners. So to be able to see what they've done immediately after they do a movement has been really helpful to kind of pair with the coaching cue. As far as an analysis, it doesn't have as much use just because to really be predictive and accurate, you've got to have a lot of data and a lot of standardized data. And sort of standardize it across different environments through video is much more difficult than using a force blade, you know, very much like drawing blood. You know, it's blood is blood, force is force. You know, it's the same across states and countries. So it's much easier to standardize than video analysis, but video is a great tool for instant feedback.
It really is. And it's sometimes shocking to see my golf swing on video.
Yeah.
When we do that instant feedback, and I have nightmares about that. But yeah, we're wrapping up here with Dr. Phil Wagner of Sparta Science, SpartaScience.com. And I guess as we're wrapping up, talk about how athletes now, we have a skewing of elite athletes and professional athletes that are continuing to perform at a very high level when they're getting older. You know, you can just generally or loosely attribute this to technology, but is there anything else that is allowing athletes to, you know, in all sports perform, you know, at a very high level as they get older?
Yeah, I don't think technology's, I think it's still early days to really start extending athletes' careers. I think medicine is a big, being able to
nutrition.
Yeah, nutrition. I think nutrition's had a big effect. I think medical operations, you know, the fact that ACL surgeries are better, Tommy John surgeries are better. I think the medical advances and the nutritional advances have allowed athletes to play longer. I think technology in the future will have a huge effect at extending careers. I think we're still in that early adoption phase by most athletes and organizations. So they haven't really fully optimized it yet to start extending careers, but I think it'll be very significant. We'll see more athletes playing into their 40s in the professional realm. Quite a few more, in fact.
It's really amazing. There's a lot doing it right now. So
yeah, and I think it'll keep growing.
Definitely a trend that will keep growing. And great to have Dr. Phil Wagner here on the Tech of Sports this week. And Doctor, here's your chance. If people, parents are listening, athletes listening that want to find out more about Sparta, more about you, here's your chance to give contact information, your website, your social media. How can people find out more about you and what you guys are doing?
Yeah, our website, SpartaScience.com, you know, it's kind of a host of information ranging from, you know, a lot of the return to play and injury programs we put together, and some of the videos of athletes and teams talking about how that technology's changed their lives. You know, at the end of the day, that's why we got into this, is to help people, you know, for the not trying to sound corny, but really to realize their dreams of, they want to achieve something, and we're using technology as a way to improve the odds of that happening. And so the website that we have, spartascience.com, has got all that information ranging from injuries to performance to some of the more technical side of things of how those are created.
Yeah, I love the blog section of the website. The blogs are really thought-provoking. You cover a wide variety of topics in them. Yeah. When you get done watching one of the blogs, it kind of leaves you hungry for more. So you watch the next one. So I think the way you have that laid out and the way you kind of have that structured is very interesting and very attention getting. I really like what you're doing with that blog section.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Yeah, great stuff. Absolutely great to have Dr. Phil on this evening. SpartaScience.com. I invite you to check that out. Feel free to be interactive with the people at Sparta Science as well. They're big on relationships, and that's really what our world's all about today, especially when it comes to sports. So that, and also check out the ModernLifePodcastNetwork.com website as early as Friday of this week. Very soon, the podcast awards nominations will be announced. The Tech of Sports is going to be up for a nomination. So if you like what we're doing here, and one of the only shows and podcasts that really talks and delves deep into sports technology, we appreciate your support with maybe a nomination or a good word about us and the other shows from the Modern Life Podcast Network that'll be up for an award. So it's just something little that we don't do what we do for awards, but it's great to be mentioned in that mix. So as with athletes, we like to be the best, and what we're doing, we like to improve on if we're doing something wrong. So love to hear from you about that, and check out modernlifepodcastnetwork.com for the podcast award nominations, which will soon be out. So thanks for that. Thanks for Dr. Phil Wagner for coming on the Tech of Sports this week. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.